Translation: from the darkness of false ego, the first of the five elements, namely the sky, is generated. Its subtle form is the quality of sound, exactly as the seer is in relationship with the seen. From the darkness of false ego, the first of the five elements, namely the sky, is generated. Its subtle form is the quality of sound, exactly as the seer is in relationship with the seen. Purport given by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki.
Jai.
The five elements, namely sky, air, fire, water and earth, are all but different qualities of the darkness of false ego. This means that the false ego, in the sum total form of Mahat-Tattva, is generated from the marginal potency of the Lord. And due to this false ego of lording it over the material creation, ingredients are generated for the false enjoyment of the living being. The living being is practically the dominating factor over the material elements as the enjoyer, though the background is the Supreme Lord. Factually, save and except the Lord, no one can be called the enjoyer, but the living entity falsely desires to become the enjoyer. This is the origin of false ego. When the bewildered living being desires this, the shadow elements are generated by the will of the Lord, and the living entities are allowed to run after them as after a phantasmagoria. It is said that first the tan matra sound is created, and then the sky. And in this verse it is confirmed that actually it is so. But sound is the subtle form of the sky, and the distinction is like that between the seer and the seen. The sound is the representation of the actual object, as a sound produced speaking of the object gives an idea of the description of the object. Therefore, sound is the subtle characteristic of the object. Similarly, sound representation of the Lord in terms of His characteristics is the complete form of the Lord, as was seen by Vasudev and Maharaj Dasarath, the fathers of Lord Krishna and Lord Rama. The sound representation of the Lord is non-different from the Lord Himself, because the Lord and His representation in sound are absolute knowledge. Lord Chaitanya has instructed us that in the holy name of the Lord, as sound representation of the Lord, all the potencies of the Lord are invested. Thus one can immediately enjoy the association of the Lord by the pure vibration of the sound representation of His holy name. And the concept of the Lord is immediately manifested before the pure devotee. A pure devotee, therefore, is not aloof from the Lord, even for a moment. The holy name of the Lord, as recommended in the Shastras, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, may therefore be constantly chanted by the devotee, aspiring to be constantly in touch with the Supreme Lord. One who is thus able to associate with the Lord is sure to be delivered from the darkness of the created world, which is a product of false ego, tamasi ma jyotirgama. Tamasadapi bhutader vikurvana dabhunnabaha tasya matra guna shabdo lingam yad rashtri drishyayo. From the darkness of the false ego, the first of the five elements, namely the sky, is generated. Its subtle form is the quality of sound, exactly as the seer is in relationship with the seen. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyebacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnanebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, everyone. So, want to obviously seek the blessings of all the devotees assembled here and those watching online, and of course the seniors who may be watching, and I'll do my best to serve you all with this verse, and forgive me for any mistakes. When I accepted the verse, I thought I'd challenge myself, not look at the verse, you know, just make sure the date is available, and then I'm going to see what the verse is and then do it. And then I looked at the verse, and it's a very technical verse, talking about tan matra sounds and things like that, very, you know, to do with the cosmos and, you know, creation. I think the last few verses this whole week, well, last week, have been very technical in nature. So, a scientist devotee probably would be good to tackle this. But nonetheless, we will strive to get some understanding on it. So what we can see, I think, in the last... we can see from the verses, over the last five or six verses, actually from the beginning of this chapter, what's happening is Narad Muni is asking Lord Brahma, you know, alluding to that, you're the supreme, please tell me how things are made. And Narad Muni is you know, giving that allusion, to Lord Brahma being the supreme. And Lord Brahma, how did you create the different aspects of the creation? Right? You'll see that verse after verse. And then you'll see that as Narad Muni is glorifying Lord Brahma, and rightfully so. But then at some point, then when Brahma starts to speak, he then actually says to Narad Muni, actually, you know what? And I'm paraphrasing here, but he says, you know what? You're glorifying me as the cause of all causes. And you know what? Because for most people, if they do not know what is the absolute truth, they'll assume that to be the case, because they'll see me as the all-in-all. But actually, in all fairness, I'm not that person who's actually creating everything. There is someone higher than me, and whatever I'm doing is actually invested from him. Right? So Lord Brahma himself corrects Narad Muni with his perception to say that I'm not the supreme, and all this creation, all the creative processes that you're seeing, it's not actually all coming from me. I'm simply an instrument, right? And then obviously giving credit to Krishna, showing that there actually is Krishna who's actually doing everything. So I think already, just from these verses, one can see Lord Brahma's greatness, right? Because often we look at a lot of these high-level personalities and we often see their greatness, but sometimes they do certain things which maybe we learn from, but here we can see Lord Brahma's innate greatness. He automatically establishes who's the real cause of all causes. He makes it clear that despite appearances, he's not the be-all and end-all. So one of the qualities that comes out from here is Lord Brahma's humility. And it's this humility that makes him empowered to do what he does. In one of the verses in Canto 3, Chapter 10, Prabhupada says, well, actually, in the verse it says, Lord Brahma's brain is like that of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So you can see how powerful this personality is. But that power is coming from his humility, which is why one of the things that we're encouraged to do before we, you know, connect with Krishna through the holy names is we chant the third verse of the Shikshashtakam, which is also about getting humility. Trinadapi sunichena, tarorapi sahishnuna, amana nina mana dena, kirtaniya sadahari. So before we get into the tattva here, it's good to just establish the culture of what Brahma is showing here. Similarly, we see Mahaprabhu mentions, bahu janma koro jodi shravana kirtan. Right? So bahu janma, for many lifetimes, you may do shravana and kirtan. Tabutar paya krishna pade premadhan. But if you don't avoid offenses, right, and following the proper etiquette and culture, then your Krishna prema will not come. So when you follow proper culture, you avoid aparad, and then you attract the mercy, and that's what makes all the difference in spiritual life. That's how our spiritual life blossoms. So if we actually look at the creative process here, we see, so I'm going to refer to K. Canto 3, chapter 10, verse 14 onwards, right? This is of it, yeah, it is the next canto. But it just kind of nicely delineates the process of creation that Brahma is talking to Narad Muni over here. And we can see actually where Brahma's role lies in the whole creative process. So I'll just whiz through it. So, okay, so it's mentioning here, this is in chapter 10, verse 14. There are 9 different kinds of creations, levels of creations, right? Besides the one which naturally occurs due to the modes interacting with each other, right? There are 3 kinds of annihilations. We know this. You know the 3 kinds of destructions, right? This is due to eternal time, the material elements, the quality of one's work. So this is interesting. Of the 9 creations, the first one is the creation of the Mahatattva. So this is the sum total of the material ingredients, where the modes, they interact due to the Lord's empowerment, right? Due to the presence of the Lord. Then the second layer of creation, the false ego is generated, in which the material ingredients, material knowledge, material activity, they all come together, they arise. Then, third creation, the sense perceptions are created in the universe. From these, elements are generated. Then the fourth creation, which is the creation of knowledge and of working capacity, right? So this is Jnana Shakti, Kriya Shakti. If you remember the last verse, last Friday's class, it was talking about the Kriya Shakti and the Jnana Shakti. Right, then we get to the fifth creation. This is the controlling deities by the interaction of the mode of goodness of which the mind is a sum total. Then, this is an interesting one, the sixth creation, which is the ignorant darkness of the living entity by which the master acts as a fool. Now, I thought that's an interesting one. The sixth creation is the ignorant darkness of the living entity by which the master acts as a fool. May I ask, what do you think of this sentence? What is it trying to say there? What is the Bhagavatam trying to say there? Right? It's the ignorant darkness of the living entities created, and from that, the master acts as a fool. Yes, Rasaraj Prabhu?
Hare Krishna. Master, there's we are Purush, and also Krishna is Purush. We learn that from Srila Prabhupada's purport. So, the ignorance of darkness is created where the Purush, who is superior to Mother Nature, in fact, is acting like a fool and therefore is under her influence instead.
Yeah, perfect. I mean, yeah, so we know that the Lord, you know, he has 3 divisions of Shaktis, right? His Antaranga Shakti, his Bahiranga Shakti, and his Tathasta Shakti. So we are obviously living entities, the Jivas, are under the realm of the Tathasta Shakti. We're actually superior. We're part of the internal energy of the Lord. We're originally part of the Antaranga Shakti, but we are, because we're in the Tathasta, we are prone to get dominated by the Bahiranga, the external energy, right? But actually, constitutionally, we're superior to it. So for us, what causes our domination, our bewilderment by the external energy is this sixth creation, when the ignorance of the Ahankar comes about. All right, so there's actually a creative process to put that darkness over us, which is why we know that in the material creation, there are 2 types of, illusory potencies. There's the Avaranatmika Shakti and there's the Prakshepa Shakti. This is the covering potency and the throwing potency. Throwing means to throw you off balance, to throw you away from Krishna, and the covering, which is basically to make you identify with a false identity, right? So this is all, it's all part of the creative process. The layers are putting in. It's almost like creating a cake, like a layer cake, you know? And then these layers are put in. Okay. Then we carry on. All the above are natural creations by the external energy of the Lord. Now hear from me. So this is interesting. After the sixth one, right? Now we get to Lord Brahma. Brahma has not even entered the creative process yet. All these layers that are being made have been made beforehand. Now Brahma comes in. We can see now Brahma is not the original creator. In fact, he comes quite late into the creative process. So then it says, now hear from me about the creations by Brahma, who is incarnation of the mode of passion. And like I mentioned earlier on, and who, this is verse 18, right? Canto 3, chapter 10, verse 18. And who in the matter of creation has a brain like that of the personality of Godhead. So one can just imagine how powerful this personality is. He has four heads, you know? It's like, yeah? So anyway, and then it carries on. The seventh creation is that of the immovable entities, you know, like the trees, and there are six kinds of trees and creepers and things, and then the immovable trees and plants, almost unconscious, but they have feelings of pain within, interesting. So that's why plants, trees, they also experience pain, which is why even when we eat vegetables, we still have to offer it to the Lord to take away the sinful reaction. It's not sufficient just to become a vegetarian, thinking we can escape karmic reactions. We're still causing pain to the fruits and the vegetables, right? And then eighth creation, lower species of life, of which there are many. You know, it goes on to talk. This is Maitreya Rishi, I think, talking to Vidura. Yeah, about the, you know, the hooved animals and the unhooved animals, etc., etc. And then, of course, it comes on to the ninth creation, which is the humanoid beings, and then goes on to the demigods, etc. So my point that I'm trying to make from all this is really just to show where Brahma comes in this whole nine-stage creative process, right? Now, one may ask, because like I said, these verses are quite technical, and unless, you know, for maybe some of the pundits and scholars, they may get a lot of rasa from these types of verses. A lot of people may not get so much rasa instantly, but then the question arises, why is there so much detail given to the creative processes? Why is there so much, especially considering it's a transcendental literature, right? Why, and you know, it's about trying to connect with Krishna. Like, there's verses on like, okay, what are the hooved animals? How many types of hooved animals there are? Or what are the different levels of, like, you know, subtle tanmatra elements and the gross elements? Why do you think there is so much detail put in the Bhagavatam of all scriptures of these minute details of material phenomena? Yes, Antaranga Prabhu.
Because how can we, for instance, relish rasa if we don't understand the tattva behind it? So if we look at rasa without understanding of the knowledge, it's purely mundane, sort of emotional, sentimental speculation. So if we look at that Krishna is the supreme, if we do not understand the supremacy and the mastery behind the creation, then when we look at the rasa dance, we just see, oh, there's a boy dancing with girls. But if we understand the philosophy behind it, no, this is the supreme creator, the Lord of everything, the one who created all the cosmoses and universes, and the Lord of all the Brahmas, then we can appreciate his superiority.
Thank you, yeah. So we need to have a good foundation of tattva before we can appreciate the rasa. We'll go with Cyrus Prabhu and then Rasa Raj. Sorry, I know it's getting a little interactive here. We will we'll bring it back to the narrative. Okay, very good. Thank you. To equip us against the onslaught of atheism, because we're giving such detailed understanding of the material universe. Dare I say, it's actually giving a lot more detail. Well, not dare I say, it is giving a lot more detail than what's actually been given in the media, because a lot of it is actually based on speculation and, you know, theories which are constantly changing.
If we didn't have this, the background, the knowledge of this sacred text, then we wouldn't stand a chance against the prevalence of atheism, especially the scientists in this modern day.
Yeah.
They're very ferocious, you know, and they come to dismantle anything that is of God and they try to do away with it. So we can't stand on something solid, a good argument at least.
Yeah, no, definitely. That's why Prabhupada said scientific preaching is one of the most important areas that we need to invest in our movement as well. Rasaraj Prabhu, I'll come to you. Another aspect that came was that similarly to how Arjun was asking about the Lord's universal form in the Bhagavad Gita, even though Arjun was a devotee, similarly Narad Muni is also a devotee, a bhakta, right? But Arjun asked Krishna about the universal form, 11th chapter, and even to show it. So there's also this thing about to establish the unequivocal supremacy of the Lord, right? And for that, sometimes a devotee will showcase the Lord's full-on creative potencies and stuff, even though as devotees, generally, we're more inclined towards having the intimate connection, the intimate relationship with the Lord, but just to show the supremacy, so that in the future, people can understand Krishna, not only theoretically, philosophically, scientifically, of leading to, obviously, the devotional aspect as well. So that's why it's important to know these things as well, and to establish, the kind of valid tattva behind it. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami mentions, Siddhanto bolya chite nakara alash, iha hoite Krishna lage shudrodi manas. This is a famous verse where Kaviraj Goswami says, when it comes to discussing philosophy, don't be lazy, nakara alash, right? Because only by hearing the philosophy, the mind becomes strong, and only a strong mind can relish the beauty of the Lord's pastimes. So that's why it's important for us to know these aspects as well, even if we may not become masters of this area, aspect of Krishna consciousness. Okay, let's carry on. So in the purport, Prabhupada goes on to mention about the sound being the subtle form of sky. Okay, so now we're getting obviously a bit technical here. We understand that gross come from subtle, right? And we are generally conditioned to see gross, right? But actually, as we progress in spiritual life, what we're actually doing is we're going from the gross to the subtle, right? In Krishna consciousness, the trick is really how to get our grossness absorbed in Krishna. And then through that, we trick the mind, right? And then we're trying to establish the mind and get it to think of Krishna, right? We're trying to catch the mind. So we have to use the gross things first, right? To then gradually go more and more subtle. Eventually, when we are fully subtly, we're in Krishna. Because initially what happens, we may come to Krishna consciousness. Grossly, we may do stuff that is Krishna consciousness. Like Kadma Kanamaraj was saying on Sunday's class, how externally we may do the externals, but internally there may be resistance. Internally we're still flirting with Maya, but we still have to do the gross stuff. Because through that it will pervade. It's almost like going backwards. It then goes into the subtle. And then our subtle will then start to become Krishna conscious as well. So often we say the internals affect externals, but guess what? Externals also affect the internals as well. Yeah, so that's a very important point to understand here. In the previous verse, it mentions one of the ways we can do this is if we invest our dravya shakti, kriya shakti, and jnana shakti in Krishna's service, right? As we do that more and more, then we end up starting to work under Satchitananda, right? Dravya shakti means our possessions. So this is very much sounds like Yukta Viragya, right? Kriya shakti is basically our power, our skills, and then jnana shakti is our knowledge, our intellectual capacity. Some of us may be blessed with more jnana shakti, some of us may be more with kriya shakti, based on our bodily compositions. But the point is that we use it, we use this, because these shaktis are given to us by the modes of nature. So we use the modes of nature in Krishna's service, right? It's like the modes of nature, it's like a knife. You can use the knife to cut or to, cook, or you can use it as a weapon, or you can use it to heal people, like through surgery. So the modes actually, sometimes we know that we have to get out of the modes, but sometimes instead of trying to fight the modes, we can look at how we can actually use the modes to then help us get onto transcendence. Bhaktivedanta Purnamaraj talks a lot about this actually in Mayapur. Even the mode of ignorance. How can we use the mode of ignorance in a transcendental manner? Yes, Antaranga Prabhu?
Sleeping.
Yeah, absolutely. We sleep, we recuperate. We rest our bodies so that we can then do our service and our sadhana properly, right? Because the body is limited, so it needs energy boost. If you're really, really, I know there are like a lot of spiritualists who may be really advanced. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj talks about it in the Spiritual Warrior books, how some very advanced spiritualists, they can even use sleep, which is a mode of ignorance activity, to then commune with higher beings, you know, on a spiritual level. But obviously, that's, you have to be very elevated on that one, on that platform. Yeah, Jason Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. I just want to come in on that point, if I might. I think sleeping is, yeah, I really agree with that. I didn't bring it to mind myself. But I think there's a caveat to that being, I think we need to approach sleep in the right way. So, for example, if you go to sleep, not go to sleep in that sort of, you know, but go to sleep in that sort of mood of, oh, I want to get a good night's sleep because I want to do great bhakti tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely good point. So, Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokul Nanda Ki Jai. So, if we engage our mature propensities, then we can achieve great things in Krishna's service. So, we look at Lord Brahma. And, you know, he's probably foremost when it comes to Gyan Shakti, right? He has so much of that. And he engaged in a very simple way, because we're looking at the creative process here. What was the first thing he engaged his Gyan Shakti in? I'll give you a clue, it's two syllables. Tapa, right? Just two syllables. He invested all his intellectual focus on just two syllables, right? Like, it's not that Krishna gave him a whole manual and instructions and everything. Just tapa, right? He invested in the tapa, and then through the tapa, then he got further. And it's interesting because now we're going to get onto sound now. We're going to talk a little bit about sound because the last paragraph here, Prabhupada talks a lot about sound, right? It's all about the sound, actually, right? So he meditated on a sound, sacred sound, and from that, he then got further sounds with which he used to create the material universe, right? He got the, you know, the Gopal mantra, the Kama, Chatushloki, the Kama Gayatri mantra, right? You know, the creative one, right? He used these ones to actually then start to create the whole universe. So therefore, sound is a very, very important thing here. I'll mention one thing here. It's said here that when the bewildered living being desires to enjoy, like, you know, desires this, the shadow elements are generated by the will of the Lord. So the example is giving that sometimes, you know, when you're a little kid and the mum is like cooking in the kitchen and she's, you know, cooking like real stuff, and then the real dishes. But then you have the child, and I'm sure those who are mothers may identify with this. A child wants to imitate the mother. So then, you know, like when you're a kid, they used to have like toy dishes and toy foods and things like that, made of plastic and stuff. And then like the little, you know, little baby girl or something is sitting there on the kitchen floor trying to do it. And so it's interesting here, the bewildered living being, we're like that little child. We are then, because we have a desire to try and be like Krishna, so Krishna gives us this fake objects. This whole material universe is fake, right? Illusory. And we're given these fake stimulants to try and do like what Krishna wants to do. But then eventually what happens, we get frustrated. Just like the kid. After a certain point, the kid will be like, okay, you know what, I'm cooking with these things and it's all fun for like 5 minutes, but then I want to go off now. And then, you know, and then the kid may want to try and play with a little car, and then we'll get bored of that and then get bored of this. And then that's like us going through the whole life after life, trying this, trying that, you know, bhoga tyaga, then finding it's all chapala sukha, temporary, limited. And then one day the kid may actually think to himself, you know what? What is life about? And then obviously for us, it's like, okay, then we find out, okay, you know, what is this world about? And then we come to Krishna consciousness. So there's a bit of an analogy going on there. So one other thing here is mentioned is about sound. So Prabhupada talks about the tanmatra sound that is the subtle form of sky. Right, now, two aspects here. Sound is a material element, but it's very, very powerful. right? I was listening to a lecture by Chandramouli Maharaj. And I actually, see, I'll tell you how powerful it is. This universe is composed of sound vibrations operating at different frequencies. That's how powerful sound is. Even, I'm just on a material level. Maharaj gives an example, just like, even through sound, we can manipulate matter, right? Like, a classic example, opera singers. You know, when an opera singer sings at a certain pitch, you know they can break the glass, right? That's incredible. You literally can affect another solid object just through the sound vibration. Another example, they did a research study on this. I looked this up. The sound vibrations that a fetus in the womb is subjected to will then affect the emotional state of that child when it's born. That's why, you know, like parents often will, like, you know, like get put on classical music when the fetus is in the womb. For devotees, obviously, they will probably put on the mantra, Maha Mantra, and, you know, kirtans, bhajans, and things like that, because sound is so powerful, right? And it might not be easy to initially make the connection of how sound is a subtle form of sky, but here's the thing, because we're looking through gross vision, we may not see all the elements present on a subtle level. For example, you've got wood here, wood that is surrounding this, right? We've got wood around us. Wood, as per the scriptures, contains what? Fire. Now, you can't see it. If you're just looking grossly, how does this? I can't see any fire in there, but there's fire in there. In the olden days, they didn't used to have matches and lighters. They would rub those, you know, the sticks together to create the fire, you know, for yagyas and things like that. Our bodies may look like flesh and bone, but most, a lot of it, if not majority of it, is water. So it's in subtle form. So there's actually elements that are pervading that is actually subtle form. But the most powerful is sound. In fact, sound pervades the entire universe. There's a particular sound that pervades the entire universe, according to the scriptures. Does anyone know what it is? Om. Om, very good, yes. There's Om. There's also another one. There's another one, and I'll give you a clue. It's we can kind of see it in one sense on the deities. Okay, so they say the sound of Krishna's flute is pervading the entire creation in the form of the Kama Gayatri mantra, right? So therefore, we can see that sound is powerful, but sound is not just material. It's also spiritual, right? So we talked about sound, and then in the last bit, Prabhupada talks about Lord Chaitanya and giving us and how he gave us the holy names, right? So the Maha Mantra, sound is transformative, and of all the transformative sounds, the Maha Mantra is the most transformative. Actually, what to speak of the Maha Mantra, even other sacred sounds are transformative. For example, who's that famous personality in the Bhagavatam who got transformed and got all his, this is on a very subtle level, he got all his sinful reactions taken away by uttering a certain sacred name? Ajamil. And he was uttering Narayan, right? Now, it wasn't necessarily making him a pure bhakta, but taking away all his reactions, saved him from the Yamadutas. Now, Narayan is an expansion of Krishna. So therefore, the Narayan name is powerful. The even more powerful is Krishna's names, right? Because Krishna's name doesn't just take away sinful reactions, it gives you bhakti as well. So that's why we cannot underestimate the power of this sound. And so therefore, we come to obviously Mahaprabhu as well. And it's interesting that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, started to, you know, externally at least, get into the holy names, he was before that a great scholar, right? He was Nimai Pandit. And then he got initiated by Ishwara Puri. And Ishwara Puri actually says to him, Murkha Tumi, means you're a fool, right? You're a fool. You know, you think you've understood everything. You have no qualification. You know, you just to study the Shastra. Just chant Krishna's names. This is the essence of everything. And then Nimai Pandit, when he received the holy names through the ear in Gaya, he got so humbled and he received the Gopal mantra from Ishwara Puri. And then he became completely immersed with the holy names and, you know, the bhakti awakened. And he says a wonderful verse. He goes, কিবা মন্ত্র দিলে গোসাই কিবে তারা বাল জাপিতে জামতে জাপিতে জাপিতে মন্ত্র করিলে পাগাল রাইট কিবা মন্ত্র দিলে গোসাই ও গোসাই হোয়াট কাইন্ড অফ মন্ত্র হ্যাভ ইউ গিভেন মি দিলে গোসাই রাইট হোয়াট কাইন্ড অফ মন্ত্র হ্যাভ ইউ গিভেন মি রাইট কিবে তারা বাল জাপিতা মন্ত্র করিলে পাগাল দিস জাপা দিস জাপিতে জাপিতে আই এম ডুইং দিস জাপা অফ দিস মন্ত্র অ্যান্ড ইজ মেকিং মি পাগাল ইজ মেকিং মি ম্যাড রাইট সো দিস ইজ বেসিক্যালি ওয়্যার উই আর কামিং টু অ্যান্ড হি ওয়াজ এক্সুডিং প্রেমা ভক্তি This Maha Mantra is so powerful that all the rasas that one can actually have with Krishna, Supreme Person of Godhead, are contained within the holy names. Nama Chintamani Rasa Vigraha, right? It's the crest, it's the touchstone and giving us to all the rasas, the form of all the rasas through the Naam, right? So therefore, this sound vibration is the most powerful thing that we can actually experience in our lives. And really get into, and that's how Prabhupada. It's nice that Prabhupada finished this purport with this, and this will actually help us to associate with the Lord and deliver us from the darkness of this created world, right? This product of this false ego, tamasima jyotirgama, right? And that's why Prabhupada, Mahaprabhu himself says, right? Cheto darpanam marjanam bhava mahadavagni nirvapanam. Shaira Kairava Chandrika Vitaram Vidya Vadu Jivanam, right, the first two lines of the first verse of Shikshashtakam. Let there be supreme victory for the chanting of the holy names of Krishna alone, which cleanses the mirror of the heart and completely extinguishes the blazing forest fire of material existence. And it's actually interesting, I'll finish on this point, that, you know, we're talking about Brahma. Brahma gives all respect to Krishna, gives credit to Krishna. And it's interesting we're talking about sound, because we know that there was one time that Brahma made a bit of a mistake in the Brahma Vimohan Leela. Leela, of course. Not that Brahma could make a mistake, obviously. But, you know, it said that, you know, the Brahma Vimohan Leela, where he wanted to test Krishna by taking away the calves and the cowherd boys. And it said that, you know, all the different pastimes in the Krishna book, you know, they represent different things. So Lord Brahma's stealing the calves to try and test Krishna is a symptom of the anartha of mental speculation and fruitive activities, which comes from a high level of success. Because Brahma was very materially successful. The most materially successful. He creates the material. He's the one that created the whole material thing, right? And so therefore, you know, you can see why he would think, okay, I have the adhikar now to test who is who, right? But, and so there's the anartha there. But then, so what did he do then? He then requested Krishna, you know what, once he came to his senses and realized that what is my intellectual capacity compared to Krishna? And he actually says to Krishna that you do what you want with me. You put me in a position where I can be humbled and live in a humble state. So does anyone know, in his next life, who did Brahma become? Haridas Thakur. And it's interesting, in Haridas Thakur, he went from Brahma, if you look at from Brahma to Haridas Thakur, Brahma had all status, all privilege, all power, all intellectual capacity, all position, everything. Haridas Thakur, nothing. No power, no position. He wasn't even allowed to go into the Jagannath temple. But what he did have was the holy names, right? That's why he's known as Namacharya. So therefore, whatever Jnana Shakti, Kriya Shakti, or Drava Shakti we have, we must not also get too affected or, caught up in those Shaktis that are given to us, because we have to know that what is our anchor? Our anchor is the holy names. I mean, for Haridas Thakur, the anchor was so strong that no matter how much suffering he went through, being whipped in 22 marketplaces, it didn't affect him from his holy names, right? No matter how much sense gratification was presented before him, like Maya coming to him personified in the form of an alluring woman, right? He still just completely immersed himself in the holy names. So sense gratification didn't affect him. Suffering didn't affect him, right? Even when in his old days, when he was suffering, really, really suffering, and Mahaprabhu told him in Jagannath Puri, look, you can calm down on the chanting, because you know he was chanting like so many thousands of names per day. And Mahaprabhu told him, look, you don't need to, you know, look, it's easy. And then he was so humble, he said that, how can I stop chanting when I have no taste for the holy names? I have to still keep going, right? So that shows that Lord Brahma knew that it's this Maha Mantra sound vibration is what is actually where everything is coming from. So in his next life, he made a direct display of that by rejecting everything else and just focusing on the holy names, no matter what came to him. So, yeah. So I'll stop here. We've got maybe a couple more minutes. Is there any questions, comments, queries from anyone? Yes, we'll go with Srinivas Prabhu and then Rishi Chavara Prabhu.
You mentioned in your class about Krishna's supremacy. So there's a story in the Puranas how one time the demigods, they defeated the demons and they became very proud. So Lord Vishnu came in the form of a yaksha, heavenly damsel, and Parvati saw this. So Indra asked Parvati, who is this? But before that, Indra sent the fire god, Agni. And the yaksha asked Agni, can you burn this blade of grass? So with all the potency he had, he couldn't burn the blade of grass. And Agni got bewildered, he went back. So Indra asked Agni, who is he? I said, I forgot to ask. So Agni sent Vayu. So Vayu went. And the yaksha asked, who are you? He said, I'm Vayu. So then the yaksha asked Vayu, can you blow this blade of grass? So with all his power, he couldn't blow the blade of grass. So he got bewildered and he went back and Indra asked, who was he? I forgot to ask. So as Indra was going, he saw Parvati. And he asked Parvati, who is this yaksha? Parvati says, that's Lord Vishnu. He's come to humble you. Because you were thinking you won the demons, but actually he was telling you that actually you couldn't do it with your ability. He empowered you to do it.
Nice. Thank you. Thank you, Prabhu. Yeah, that's a wonderful pastime. And we have even Lord Brahma also shares Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchitananda Vigraha Anadi Radhi Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam, that the Supreme Controller is Krishna. He is the beginning and the end. The cause of all causes. Rishi Prabhu?
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for your class. I was just going to mention one thing that I heard a few years ago, that either some devotees or some scientists chanted some, just on the power of sound, chanted some Vedic mantras, like to or near a puddle of dirty water, and as they started to chant, the dirt and the water started to separate. So it shows how powerful the sound, especially mantra, is. And also, the holy name is, if we're chanting that, that's clear, also clearing the dirt in our hearts.
Thank you. Yeah, there are many experiments been done over the years by scientists subjecting different plants and, food stuff to different sound vibrations, seeing how they affect the thing. And you can see, when something is subjected to ignorant sounds or chaotic sounds, it withers away. But when the plant is subject to the mode of goodness sounds, it flourishes. So what to speak of Maha Mantra, which is obviously transcendental, it's on a higher level. Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah, Roman. Yeah. Okay.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for the class, Prabhu. Just had a quick question, a bit technical question on sound and the Maha Mantra. So sometimes when new people come and they chant the mantra for the first time, they ask, oh, why can't I just chant any word? And as long as I ascribe it the same meaning, it wouldn't make any difference. And so my question is, what can we say is the powerful part about the Maha Mantra? Is it the words? Is it the meaning behind the words? Because we can't necessarily say it's the frequency, right? Because everyone chants in a different frequency as well. So, yeah, I don't know if you can.
No, but see, the frequencies is on a mature realm, right? Whatever frequency, you know, the other sounds are operating at different frequencies, but it's in a mature limitation. What this is transcendental, to transcend. Transcend means to cross over. So it's actually coming from the spiritual world. So it's not affected by material limitations, by whether you chant at a low pitch or a high pitch. We see different devotees chant really fast or slow and things like that. So, but because it's a spiritual sound coming directly from the spiritual world, so therefore it's not affected by the material things, you know? It will break through the material coverings, right, and bring out that love within you.
Yeah.
Because it's coming directly from Krishna.
Okay, I was just thinking how to explain this to new people, you know, so in a way.
But okay, you can say it like that.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, you can say it's from a spiritual realm, if in case you don't want to use the term Krishna, because they might not know who is Krishna. But you can say that it's from a spiritual level of consciousness, not a material level. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So in the Brahma Samhita, I think it's 544. So Lord Brahma described Durga Devi as the preserving Shristi Stasti Pralaya Sadhana Sakti Eka. So he's describing Durga Devi as the preserving, as the creating, preserving, and destroying agency of this mundane world. But yet, he's telling Narada Muni that, look, there's someone else behind. It's not me. I'm not doing this. It's Krishna. But here, he says in his prayers that Durga Devi is the one, this agency, who's creating, maintaining, and destroying. How do we...
We reconcile that?
Yeah.
So, Durga Devi is true. She is. But she's also impregnated by Krishna, right, in his Vishnu form, to then, expand the material creation, the Mahatattva, right? Also, even Brahma himself mentions that, yeah, there are many agents, but the Sarvakarana Karanam, the cause of all causes, Durga Devi may be a cause, but the cause of all the causes is Krishna.
So is Durga Devi the mediator in terms of Brahma takes instructions from Devi Durga, or the creating the ingredients?
No, Durga Devi comes. Durga Devi is like Lord Krishna's maid servant. She's the material energy, so she's there, and then she gets impregnated by Krishna, right? Through his, the creative potency, right? Lord Shiva, actually, yeah, impregnates the material energy. Brahma then is also brought forth into the material, the Mahatattva. And then Krishna gives Brahma the instructions as to what to do. Yeah, through the mantras, through the sounds. Yeah.
Interesting.
Okay, thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Yeah.